We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it's the Felder Friday edition of College Sports Now. We have made it to week 10 of the college football season. He's Michael Felder, at In the Bleachers on Twitter. I'm Stephen Hartzell. Felder, thanks for holding it down in my absence last week. I know you and Wayne Cook had a lot of fun, so thanks for letting me get away.
You better watch out.
Yeah, I know.
You better watch out. If they give me and Wayne a show together, it will be probably longer than Hand in the Dirt.
Yes.
And it will be some wild in the weeds football stuff.
Yeah, it'll become like the podcast version of a telethon. It just never ends. It's always on. By the way, our man Trip Hurd, intrepid producer, he will be joining the show later today. Mm-hmm. I've got issues with Trip. I will save those for when he joins the show and he can defend himself. But that guy has been reckless with his picks lately. Absolutely reckless.
Wow.
He gave out a loser last night, App State Coastal. He gave out two losers on That's My Dog last week. So he's just got to be better, period. He's just got to be better. I'll save that for when Tripp joins the show. Speaking of guests, we will be heading down to Athens, GA. Game of the year, Felder, in college football. Number one, Tennessee, at number three, Georgia. Roddy Nabolsi, friend of the program from UGASports.com, will join us in about 25 minutes from now. We will talk dogs, Vols.
I'm just going to say this. I think Tennessee wins.
Okay. I mean, I love it. I want to save that discussion for Roddy. We got the Felder Five coming up.
We can save it for Roddy. It's fine. It's number one on the Felder Five. I want to be out in front. Because if Roddy convinces me, then I'll change my mind.
The problem I have, and again, we can spend a considerable amount of time getting into it. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the world is lining up to take Tennessee, plus the points. They're like an 8-point underdog in
Athens.
They're
not. Everyone is not.
Yes, everyone is lining up to take the
points. Oh, because they bought it down to 8 from 11?
The public is lining up for Tennessee. I don't know. I don't need to bet on every game to be entertained. Like, this game will be wildly entertaining without having some sort of a financial investment. But
sure.
I am fascinated to see if this thing becomes the shootout we all think it is, or if Georgia can get a couple of stops, force Tennessee to punt. And if so, game on. Because Georgia's offense can hold their own. This isn't last year's Georgia offense.
No, they can. And listen, I've come on. This is what I have. I think there are three. Maybe I should expand it to four, but I think there are three types of football teams. There are teams that want to win 24-7, 24-10, 24-17. There are teams that can score 40. And then there are teams that want to score 40. And so you look at Illinois. Where does Illinois fall in that category in your mind?
They don't want to score, and they will not let you score.
Iowa.
Same.
Michigan.
Man, I am so fed up with Michigan at this point. They like to just lean on you until you fall over in the third and fourth quarter. That's what happens.
Right. And so they can score 40 if you offer no resistance. Like, if you don't tackle them, they'll go to the end zone and then they will win the game.
Yeah, Michigan's content.
They want to win. They want 24 points.
Yeah, they are totally fine winning games 24-21. Yeah, they have no problem with that.
Georgia is in that in-between category, that gray category where they can do it. I mean, we saw them do it in the game, the Oklahoma playoff game, right? When they had to go, when they have to, they'll do it. Alabama, I think, is in the same category. When they have to, they'll do it. But Alabama is also very content, and Nick Saban looked remarkably content winning that game, winning those games against Texas and Texas A&M, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
And then the game against Tennessee, he looked completely harried and frazzled, was upset. But you're in a 49-49 game with a chance to win at the end, and then obviously Tennessee kicks the field goal. But Tennessee was like, yeah, this is the way we play football. I love this. This is what I like. It's like someone that likes to take those super hot showers, and then you get in there. Like, Tennessee is, I'm gonna assume this. Tennessee's like your wife. Your wife takes very hot showers, I'm assuming.
Hotter than I like, yes.
And then you get in there at her water temperature and you're like, what is this? I don't like it. That Tennessee is the team that takes the hottest shower. And then when they leave the spigot on for somebody else, they get in there and they're just like, I don't like this. And I think that's going to be the interesting part of the game against Georgia. So, but we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it with Roddy. Roddy Nabolsi from UJSports.com. He's going to come on. We're going to have a great discussion with him about that. What do we want to do? Do we recap last night?
Because there's one thing I want to say before we get to Thursday night's recap, because there were some decent games on. This is not a college football playoff what-if show for the next month. Okay?
No.
There are plenty of places you can go if you want to find out about LSU's path to a college football playoff. Okay? There are places you can go if you are a butthurt TCU fan who feels slighted that you're ranked 7th behind one-loss Alabama. Okay.
But you're in striking distance. The only goal with the first and the rest, and I know we're not talking about this, but the only goal is to be in striking distance. If you're in striking distance, shut up and win football games.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to bring in your tweet from Tuesday night, which I thought was very apt and well put, which is, folks, this is a TV show. Win your games in November, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hey, TCU, if you're sitting there at 13-0, an undefeated Big 12 champ, you're fine. You're going. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about one loss Pac-12 champ yet. Don't know if that's possible. We'll see. We still get UCLA and USC on the same field. One of those teams will be playing Oregon for a Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay. But for now, don't get bent out of shape because Joey Galloway's dissing your team on Tuesday nights, okay? Just go about your business. Handle these games. November is the best month for college football. It is the busiest month for me personally. My quality of life is not incredibly great.
Especially with Thanksgiving.
Yes. Now, this was brought to my attention.
And the World Cup.
Dude, I don't even want to talk. Yes, I don't even want to talk about that. Unlike previous years, there are only 4 Saturdays in the month of November. That's kind of a rarity, okay? But I mean, that's slightly unusual. But
it's slightly unusual.
It's a very busy month.
Listen, as someone that's born in November, I've experienced many. I know how many Saturdays they are based on where my birthday is.
When's your birthday?
The 25th.
I'm gonna write it on the calendar here. There we go.
Yeah.
Felder's birthday. Are you turning 40?
No, turning 38.
Coming up on the big one.
If my birthday is on a Monday or a Tuesday, we're probably gonna get extra Saturdays. But if my birthday is on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then there's only gonna be 4. I that's how I know that.
you love the fact that your birthday falls on the Friday after Thanksgiving this year, because you will get very little fanfare. Very little phone call, very little text interaction. Just
don't need anyone.
I know. It'll go completely under the radar, which is just how you want it, I'm sure.
Don't wish me happy birthday. Don't say anything. You the best birthday gift, and you and Cerber both did it a year ago. The best thing you can do is not say anything.
By the way, Trip Hurd has joined the show. Trip, I know you had some dad stuff to deal with earlier this morning. Thank you for joining us. I didn't want to get into this until you came on because I wanted to give you a chance to defend yourself. But you have been, in a word, reckless with your picks, okay? I mean, you probably need to start putting a disclaimer on the front of these that says, for entertainment purposes only, do not wager on these. Last night you gave out App State Coastal over 63.5.
Yeah,
what was the final?
On the right side of that.
What was the final? 35-28, my man. It landed on 63.
Here's
you got to be
thing.
Better.
Reckless. Reckless is not the word. My fans know, and I've got over 90
my
followers
fans.
Now on
he
Twitter.
He said my fans.
On Twitter, I've got over 90. That's no big deal. Growing a little empire, but I'll tell you this.
That
I've
hook
been
will get you
on
there,
the right
the hook
side
will get
of all of this.
Is that server?
It's about the process. It's not about nobody sitting there. My fans aren't sitting there sweating that, you know, TCU hit a 4th-and-1 touchdown to cover. What? Nobody cares. They know we're on the right side of it, and it's going to pay off in the long run, man. This is just a tiny little sample size here. You got to be in it for the long run. You're not going to sit there and just get rich after 1 week of making picks. Like, it's going to take a little time before we're all floating on a yacht in the middle of the Mediterranean. Just give it a little time. Can you pump the brakes? Nothing's reckless here. Come on.
Man, I love – listen, trust the process, huh?
Did Cerber just drop in out of the sky?
Yes. I could have swore I heard his voice.
That hook will get you, kids. I feel for you, Tripp. You're trying your hardest, but you are not on the right side of anything right now, my friend.
I was I was on the right side of that. If App State and Coastal didn't play
you're literally on the wrong side
with each other for the last 5 minutes of the first half, that game goes over by 30.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. And hey, you know what? There's another thing, and this is kind of small. There's a lot of home cooking on that clock last night.
Okay. All right.
Down there at Coastal. It was. They had it was right at like the 4 minute mark. You go back and watch that game. They just let the clock keep running like 4 or 5 seconds off. And guess what? That's the difference right there. Why Coastal didn't have to kick a short field goal at the end of the game. Okay. On the right side of it.
Okay. I can't listen to anymore.
Everybody
this.
Knows
this,
it.
He's
my,
in denial.
My fans
this
know
is
this.
Sad. You guys Trip, have a good show.
Thanks, Cerber.
Thank you, Cerber. Trip sounds like a wrestling promoter.
Sounds like a tout who's on a losing streak is what it sounds like to me. So
you
Trip,
sound
we,
like a hater. That's what
will,
you sound like.
Listen, we will get to That's My Dog at the end of the show, as we always do. But between now and then, can you do me a favor? And pick some, like, find some winners, bro. Find them.
I'm
wherever
the
you have to look.
Right now, I'm grinding.
Good.
Right now. You
Good.
Don't have to worry about
All
me.
All right. Mute your mic. Finish whatever it is that you're eating for breakfast, because I heard you come on. You were still chewing something.
It's a parfait. It's okay. Delicious.
Well, get it.
I'm sorry.
It.
I had a little bit stuck in my teeth. It just kind of
throw
fell
it,
out of chew
you
it
You
up.
Sounded like Chris Berman when you joined the show. Just guzzle it down the hatch and then find some winners so that we can end the show on a high note. Okay? Just mute your
Done.
Mic. Okay. Go to the lab. Felder, last night, Coastal Carolina beat App State. The Shants are atop the Sun Belt East. By the way, App, nice season. Like, tons of drama. You got the nice win over A&M.
It's not a nice season.
Yeah. Here's my point. You are flirting with not going to a bowl.
Yeah, it's not a nice season. It's been an interesting season. It has not been a nice season. It's not been the season has not gone well for them. They should have, like, let's be real. They should have beat UNC.
Yes.
They should have beat. Good grief. Let me pull up their schedule.
You should have beat JMU. You were up 28-3.
I got it. They were up 28-3 against JMU. I actually wrote that in my notes, the notebook that I keep that I never let go of. I did write 28-3 in that one because I was going to bring up the Falcons, and then James Madison comes out and wins. So they should have beat UNC. They should have beat JMU. I don't know how they lost to Texas State.
Yeah, that can't happen.
And then last night, Oof. So we're looking at a team that what are we? Two plus four is six. 12-point loss to Texas State. That's a tough one. What's six plus twelve? 18?
Yes.
18 and 7. 18 plus 7 is what?
25.
It's 23.
18 plus 7 is 25? Yes.
Oh, 18 plus 5 is 23. So they're 25 points away from what should have been an undefeated season.
Yeah.
And the worst loss is Texas State.
Yeah, that they were a double-digit favorite on the road. They couldn't get it done. So, listen.
I'm sorry. I was very busy playing football while you were doing math.
That's okay. It's totally fine. I'm not a math guy. I haven't taken a math class since, like, junior year of high school, bro. So that's,
yeah, no, we're on the same page.
It's been a long time since I've had to crunch numbers.
I took one in college, and I completely failed.
Yeah, math is hard. It's really hard. So, yeah, Coastal takes down App State. The Shots still have JMU on deck, but JMU is not eligible for the Sun Belt Championship game.
So they should get there.
So you've got Coastal in the Sun Belt. App State needs to find one win over their next three games. And the other thing of note, talking about postseason, Rice-UTEP, big swing game for both of those teams trying to get to a bowl. We're talking about UTEP and Rice, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
The perennial bottom feeders of college football. Rice got the win last night. They are a game away. Well, Charlotte's going to the American. You got to wrap your head around that, too, you know?
They're going to get their brains.
They got some issues down there at Club Lit right up the street from you, Felder. But Rice got the win.
First of all, it's probably closer to you than it is to me.
It's definitely not closer to me. You live in South Charlotte. I realize that's the other side of town, but it's definitely a lot closer to you. Rice got the win over UTEP. They're sitting on five wins. They're a game away from bowl eligibility. There are three games on Friday that I have my interest.
Okay.
In chronological order, Duke at Boston College. Boston College is bad, but I like this Duke team. I'm impressed with what they've got going in year one there under Mike Elko.
Can we just say that Mike Bloomgren's he's starting to figure it out.
Good. He's been there for what? How long has he been there? Like five seasons now?
Yeah, four or five years.
Yeah, good for you, buddy. It's about time.
No, it's not that it's about time. It's that they gave him the time. Because we're going to talk about it. Listen, Auburn, they don't give anybody the time.
He gone.
Yeah. Okay, good. So tonight, you're excited. What are you excited for tonight?
Duke Boston College. Duke's a good football team. Okay?
Okay.
They are in a rare position of being a relatively large favorite against a conference opponent. We'll see if
they lock in a bowl game tonight, right?
Yeah, we'll see if they can get it done. UMass UConn, listen, it's a sickos game. I get that, but
you're gross.
At some point, you have to acknowledge that the season that Jim Mora Jr. has put together up in Stores, it's been a pretty solid one by UConn standards. Like you got to give respect where it's due. And then the main event for me. Mm-hmm. Oregon State, ranked in the college football playoff top 25 for the first time ever, goes to Seattle to play Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Huge swing game for both of these teams.
What does Pennix look like?
These are good. That's the question. These are good teams. They're both 6-2 on the season. Felder, you and I are both weather guys. Okay,
yeah.
We are into like amateur meteorology here.
Yes.
Have you seen what's expected to happen in Seattle tonight?
No, I have not. And now the best thing is it's literally it's like a one-click thing for me to get to the Weather Nation.
Okay, well, you look up, you do your own research, because I don't want to spoil it for you, but tell me, like, read for me what you see for Seattle on Friday night.
There we go, King County. Whoa, hazardous conditions, flood watch?
Yes.
And a wind advisory.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It is going to be dicey.
So this is going to be insane.
Earlier in the week, one of the guys that I follow out in Seattle tweeted something about an atmospheric event in Seattle on Friday night. So
oh my goodness.
We're talking about, at the time it was called an atmospheric river. 40 mile an hour gusts of wind.
Yeah.
Extreme rain. And oh, by the way, it's like upper 30s, low 40s when all this is rolling through.
Yeah. I'm looking at it all right now and it's just like, woo, buddy.
And we know who loves playing football in that type of weather. It ain't Washington.
The Beavs.
Yes. Let's go. Fired up for this game.
God, I'm jazzed up just talking about the weather.
You can be able to stay up for, like, if anything else, just stay up until 10:30 so you can tune in and see this thing.
Yeah, I want to see it. And they're turf, right? It's turf.
Yes. Yeah.
So, whew. But that thing, that can get slick.
Oh, it's going to be a problem. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Now, this game is being broadcast on ESPN2. I'm assuming that the broadcasters will actually be in the stadium, unlike the last weekday Pac-12 game that was aired on Fox Sports, which featured Washington State and Utah. Cam Rising didn't play in that game. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew until the game started because
they weren't there.
The Fox crew was calling it from a studio in L.A.,
Do we know what's going on with Cam Rising? Is he going to be back?
Don't know.
I'll be honest, I was doing radio in Nashville, and I didn't realize that it was official that Nolan Smith is out for the year.
For Georgia, yeah. We'll talk to Roddy about that in about 5 minutes. That's a problem.
Yeah, that was a Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith defense. And then you take one of those, and they had other pieces orbiting around them. But to not have Nolan Smith, that's tough.
Yeah.
Good grief. Especially when you have to get to the quarterback. Or you have to, if you got to chase Hendon Hooker, you know who's really good at that?
Yeah, a linebacker with speed. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, dude. Good grief. Bryson Barnes they still expect Bryson Barnes to play. Oof. Oh, man. This is going to be rough. It's going to be an interesting week of football.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's kind of a sneak peek at what we've got on Friday night. We've also got a Saturday game that kicks off at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's a rarity. You love to see it. Air Force Army, little pre-noon kickoff in Arlington, Texas. Huh?
Not only does it do nothing for me, I'm not starting my work day 30 minutes early.
Okay.
I'll have it on the iPad while I take a shower so I can hear it. But it's not going to get the full treatment. Is that bad?
Why? Because it's two service academy schools? No, man. You do what you got to do. It's fine.
No. Listen, I come from an Air Force family all day. But, like, even, like, my uncle lives in Colorado Springs. He retired from the Air Force after 30 years, and they live in Colorado Springs. But it's not about that. It's truly just, that extra 30 minutes that's my heaven. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. Yeah, it's the calm before the storm. Sure.
Bingo. And it's another thing about moving back to, you know, to Eastern time zone. Because that would have been at 10:30. Can you imagine starting your work day at 10:30?
Well, I mean, I start my Saturday pretty early, but yes, I understand.
No. I didn't say start your Saturday. I said start your work day.
I work on Saturdays, big guy.
When you have to be on, you're on.
Yeah, it kind of throws up it throws off the clock.
That's
sure.
All I'm saying.
By
that
the
would
way,
be, yes.
Shout out on Saturday if you're driving around town. If you don't know, I'm about to tell you. College Football Blitz. It's Red Zone for college football. Trip Hurd on the ones and twos. He runs the board. Your boy here just kind of bounces around. We send you to all these games. So look, if you're like, I got stuff to do between, you know, the morning and those 3:30 games kicking off, don't worry. We got you. Like, we'll send you to I'm looking at these noon games, bro. They're not going to be competitive. Ohio State, Northwestern, Bloodbath, North Carolina, Virginia, Woof. Texas Tech, TCU could be interesting. Texas Tech's got some fight in them. But it's available on the Varsity Network app, which is free if you are a SiriusXM subscriber.
Throw it in your headphones and go rake some leaves.
Good for you. Yeah, XM 84. That's the ESPNU channel. So we're on starting at noon Eastern. And we go all the way through midnight. It's 12 hours. It's phenomenal. But, yeah, if you're working in the yard, weather in North Carolina is going to be really nice this weekend, Felder.
Yes,
so
it is.
Get out there, take care of the leaves, do what you got to do. All right, we got our man Roddy Nabolsi from UGA Sports. He's going to be stopping by here in a couple of minutes. Do we want to jump into the Felder 5?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go ahead. Fire away.
Clemson, Notre Dame. And what do we think the week off did for Clemson's offense? Are they going to be married to DJ as they kind of claim to be, or are we going to see more Cade?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why wouldn't you build a couple packages in this game for Cade Klubnik? Like, why not just say, hey, third series? Like, you're already scripting the first 15, 20 plays of this game anyway. Why wouldn't you script a series around Cade coming out of a bye week for this game? Why not?
And that's the thing. I talked to Wayne. We were talking when Wayne and I talked about it. It was just so, like, I don't know, man. I just, why do you keep putting him in the game if you're not going to make him the quarterback? I guess is my thing.
I mean, you've got 5 games left of DJ's college career. Like, why not just script a series for this young man?
Is he only a junior? Is he not a junior?
Who? DJ? I think he's draft eligible.
He's draft eligible. Why would he? You think he's going to? Oh, you think he's going to go to the draft?
Draft? Portal? I don't know. We'll see. Let's put that on hold. I'll tell you what. Let's put that on hold. We got our man Roddy Nabolsi from UGA Sports. Yeah, we'll leave you hanging. Roddy joins us live from Athens.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Roddy, always good to catch up, my man. How you living?
I'm living large, man. Got the number one and number three teams of the nation going at it right here in my backyard. It couldn't be any better.
Biggest Georgia-Tennessee game in Athens since when?
Oh, ever. I mean, they've never been ranked this highly and faced each other. I would go back, though, to that game many, many years ago when Tennessee had like a 9-game winning streak against Georgia, and Georgia finally broke through. That was probably the biggest one that I'd attended in person because the place was just sideways. But I think this one's going to be even wilder. There are people, a bunch of students who started tailgating last night. They are 40 hours out from kickoff, and they went ahead and started getting in line so that they could be the first ones into the stadium to run down the steps and be on the front row for this thing. Kirby Smart, how often do you see Kirby Smart actually put out a tweet a week ahead of time saying, hey, we need you loud, we need you there, we need you to help affect this game? you can tell he's a little nervous about his defense. So, yeah, this place is crazy.
Now, Roddy, I'm glad you said you mentioned being a little nervous about the defense because to this point in the season, nobody stopped Tennessee. So what are you looking for? What do you expect, whether it's Ringo, especially without Nolan Smith, tracking down Hooker? What do you expect this defense to do? What do you think their approach is going to be?
The approach is going to be you got to stop the run first. A lot of people don't realize that Tennessee runs the ball a lot more than they throw the ball. That's, you know, they're definitely – there's an advantage there. And, of course, lots of times they're up by three or four scores, so then they're just running out the clock. But they're still it behooves them to run the ball because they take, you know, two, three, four wide receivers, stick them on the sidelines. I mean, yeah, out past the numbers, far beyond the hashes, and they make you declare. They make you, I'm going to be on the inside to stop the run, or I'm going to be outside to try to stop your wide receivers. What Georgia's going to do in this game, in my opinion, is actually try to get heat on Hooker and try to stop the run with five guys, maybe six, maybe sometimes even up to seven. But that means, you know, if you could do that, then you could play three over two on the edges and you take away some of those passing lanes and you have better coverage. You're not leaving your cornerbacks out there on the island. You got to remember in the secondary, you've got Keely Ringo, who's been burned twice the last 2 weeks or last two games. Kamari Lasser, first year starting. Javon Bullard at star, first year starting. Malachi Starks, true freshman safety. They've been picking on safeties all year, Tennessee has. So I think you need to have that three over two on the edges, the safety back up there, and not have both your safeties in the box trying to stop Hendon Hooker. If you can stop the run with five, then you've got it made. But that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah. Roddy, are you anticipating that this is going to be a shootout? Like, both teams well into the 40s here on Saturday?
I am, but every time we think that, go back to that Clemson game last year, everyone's thinking it's, you know, first one to, you know, 42 wins, and it was, what, 7-10, you know, it was just or 7-3. It was just a very tight game, low scoring. Both these defenses are hearing how great the opposing offense, you know, is. And, you know, give Georgia offense its credit. You know, Tennessee's number one in the nation in scoring points, but Georgia's right behind them. So when everyone's expecting a shootout, we get some defensive slugfest. But I just don't think either of these defenses is set to stop. I mean, I don't know how Tennessee stops Brock Bowers. How does Tennessee stop Darnell Washington? How do they stop that running game that Georgia has? So, yeah, I'm thinking this is a situation where you are definitely seeing a lot of points go up on the board.
I want to get to Darnell Washington. I'm glad you brought him up. Obviously, we know Brock Bowers is a constant. Ladd McConkey is a constant. Darnell Washington, how fun has it been to see him split out and then they use him and find the seam and create mismatches for him?
It's fun, but it is frustrating. Let's go back to that Florida game where Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington had eight or nine targets in the first half, and then I think they got one in the second half. You get up 28-3 on an arch rival. You go into halftime, you make your adjustments, and you stop throwing to the tight ends. They have not thrown to Darnell a whole lot this year. A lot more than last year.
Yes. Know?
But it's just, I don't understand why you are not just riding him. And all these passes that you throw to Ladd McConkey, who has been dropping passes for the last three or four games and dropping punts and such, he's got the yips. Why? Why? Darnell Washington is a matchup night for any, I don't know anybody that can cover it. I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but I mean, that's Brock Bowers when it comes to tight ends, but he's 6'7", 275 pounds. He's an offensive tackle who can run. What cornerback, linebacker, safety can match him up one-on-one? And when he blocks you out like he does in basketball and catches the pass, well, he knocks you down. It takes three or four people to bring him to the ground. So I don't understand why he doesn't have 10, 12 targets a game. Even if you bracket him, you still just throw a jump ball, throw it higher than anybody else, he'll go get it. So he and Brock Bowers are just – that's a 1-2 punch. And if you want to start bracketing them, well, then you hand the ball off and you have Kenny McIntosh, or you throw it to Kenny McIntosh out of the backfield.
I wanted to follow up on this one because I think you're spot on. I mean, when someone's basically the size of LeBron James, maybe just put it up there like it's a rebound and he'll go get it. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was Dom Blaylock. And do we see him factoring more into the offense? Because it seems like he's had his moments, but he also doesn't seem to get the touches that I want him to get.
Dom Blaylock has never dropped a pass at the University of Georgia. I don't know how many guys you can say that about at any school. This is a guy who's been around a long time. He's been through two ACL surgeries.
Yep.
Took him a while to get back. When he was a freshman, he had a breakout year, one of the top wide receivers in the nation, just, you know, as a true freshman. Got hurt, got banged up. But this is a guy who he runs crisp routes. He gets separation, and they just don't use him enough. And Kyaris Jackson, for that matter. Kyaris Jackson is another Mecole Hardman. He finds a way to get open. If it's a 50-50 ball, he's going to come down with it. It's pound for pound, one of the strongest guys on the team. And it's nothing against Ladd McConkey. I think Ladd McConkey is an electric player who could play on any team in the country. But if it's, you know, you got him and Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint out there, or, you know, I'm like, that's good. Those guys are okay. But to me, give me a couple proven winners, a couple proven seniors, super seniors, guys that have been around forever who've played in these big games and who've made big plays on the big stage. And, yeah, target Dom Blaylock. Now, Dom did get hurt in that Florida game. He came down hard on his back, but I understand that he's supposed to be healthy. I think he might even had a small concussion, you know, but he's out of the protocol. So I'm with you. If I've got Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers out there in my 12 personnel and, you know, Kyaris Jackson in the slot and Dom Blaylock at the X, I'm liking Georgia's chances at that point.
Right, right. It's funny to hear you say this, Roddy. It used to be run the damn ball, right, in Athens. Now you're like, hey, man, throw the damn ball. Like, come on, let's go.
Just in the passing situations there, and here's the thing, out of that scenario, you can run it. With those two tackles, I mean, the two tight ends on the field, they both block like maniacs. So to me, and here's the thing we haven't seen, and I'm looking for it this Saturday. Georgia last year would run a wedge. You had the two tight ends on one side with a wide receiver behind them in this V formation that you didn't know what's going to happen. It was like trips wide, but brought right, you know, snuggled up right to the line.
Yep.
And if they didn't play it right, well, you could run right behind it or just a quick throw to that wide receiver. And he's got two huge blockers up there plus the tackle, and they're just mauling everybody. But then they all split up and go out and run different routes. And there's some, you know, bump and run, you know, through that. It's just it's a genius move. And we haven't seen it at all this year. So I'm thinking they've been holding that back to break it out versus Tennessee. So,
sure.
But, yeah, in this game, if you can run the ball and keep Hendon Hooker on the sideline, that's a very positive game plan.
Well, Roddy, I want to hop in here because the big thing for me is holding the ball doesn't seem like the answer against Tennessee, right? Like it seems like the most practical answer. It's the easy answer, but at some point you're going to have to put touchdowns on the board. And we watching Georgia, and if they have to score, if they've got, because you look at the Alabama game, 49-49 ends up 52-49. How comfortable do you think Kirby Smart, this coaching staff, and then this team will be if they have to score 49 points?
I think they'll be very comfortable. This is, Todd Monken, and he said, look, I like to throw the ball before I run it. And he's an NFL mindset. He likes scoring that. You saw them do that against Oregon. You know, they're averaging 42 points a game. They've got no problem going for more than that. I could see them pumping up there. But they know that if they don't score on 4 out of 5 drives, Tennessee will. So,
bingo.
And I started looking at it like, you know, we do a watch-along show with Coach Donna, the former Georgia head coach. We sit on his couch, and we have a big screen up, and we actually put it on YouTube, and we have, you know, tens of thousands of people join us to watch us watching the game. And I learned to watch games in terms of drives. You know, what did you do on this drive? How did you move? You know, did you flip the field position? Was that a successful drive? And nothing ticks Coach. I mean, a turnover doesn't even bother him, so long as it's on the other side of the field, because to him it's just it was almost the equivalent of a punt. But if you have a wasted drive and you don't get any field position out of it, you can just see him wanting to tear his hair out. So Todd Monken also coaches the offense that way. He's like, look, if this drive gets them backed up, then that's good. You know, if this drive, we've got to punch this one in. And Kirby Smart sees it the same way. So I think they're comfortable saying, hey, we got to score 49. But he's still worried about Tennessee scoring 50.
Yeah, I think that it's very interesting that you brought that up because I think that is a very football person mentality because the way that I think about football, Roddy, is I think about it the way I'm a bowler. I love bowling. And I think about it with open frames. If you don't score, you leave an open frame and then the other person strikes or spares, then you can never beat them. And that's the part where even if it comes down to kicking a field goal, which a spare is a field goal, touchdown's a strike. If you don't strike out, then the other team keeps striking, you're going to have a really rough time. That's one of the things I love about Ohio State is once they turn it on, they do it. So open frames, do we Georgia knows that they can't have open frames against this Tennessee team.
No, absolutely not. Because, you know, I was on another radio show and they were asking me, well, does Georgia want to control the clock? I'm like, yeah, but they want to have more drives that actually end in touchdowns.
Bingo.
Georgia goes on long drives sometimes to take, you know, 6 minutes off the clock, but then give the ball back, or, you know, they're just trying to put the ball, the game away, you know, long drive, and then everyone takes a knee. I'm like, not this game. You got to keep scoring. You got to keep putting the pressure on, because Tennessee, I think, is actually maybe last in the nation in time of possession, but they have the highest points per game. So I'm like, it doesn't matter. You can hold the ball 40 minutes, but if they score 5 touchdowns, 6, 7 touchdowns in their 20 minutes, well, then what good did it do? So you have to take those drives and put them in the end zone, and no field goals. You got to score. But hey, Georgia's been fantastic in the red zone, a lot better than last year.
Tell it to Michigan fans, man, because I'm tired of them talking to me about time of possession.
Hey, Roddy, you mentioned the red zone scoring. I'm just curious. Like, you go back and look at that 2 week stretch against Kent State and Missouri when Georgia's offense was kind of sputtering. Did you notice anything coming out of that win in Columbia over Missouri that changed with this Georgia offense?
Yeah, they stopped turning the ball over. And I'm not trying to be flippant there, but the prior three games that Georgia had not turned the ball over once. So think about it. You go 3 games, 0 turnovers, and you're just killing everybody. And then against Kent State and Missouri, you start turning over, you know, 2 times, 3 times, again, on your side of the field. Not, you know, this isn't some, you know, 30-yard punt pass that, you know, somebody picked off and, you know, they were starting on their 17. They're starting on your 15 and stuff like that. That's just that change. And again, this is why I have a little bit more expectations for Georgia in this game, because, I mean, later this afternoon, I might pick Tennessee to win. Right now, with a 1-point victory, just because I think Tennessee's on a heater. I think they're that Florida State baseball team that came through Athens a few years ago when everyone thought the coach was going to be fired and they went on to the World Series. Just, or LSU in 2019. Sometimes you get on a run, everything's working, and year two for SEC coaches is big. But when I looked at the fact that Georgia turned the ball over 3 times to Florida, now 10, you know, Florida scored 20 points, 10 of them came off turnovers, and, you know, they gave up 17 unanswered points. But still, you gave the ball over 3 times, didn't get one turnover your way, and still won 42-20. So that won't happen against Tennessee, but the point being is, like, even if you get turn the ball over 3 times, you're supposed to lose. So Georgia's pretty talented to be able to still score 42, even though you had 3 drives result in, you know, negative points against you.
Roddy, you guys do a great job covering the recruiting at UGASports.com. I would be remiss to let you go without just asking, you know, now that we're inside of, well, I guess it's like about a month to go, right, until the early signing period. Like, what's the Georgia class looking like for 22-23? And then if you can, just can you try to put into context, like, where Georgia is at with the NIL stuff as far as recruiting goes and how that's being packaged compared to other SEC programs out there? Because I know that's something that fans are going to have to start to wrap their head around, you know, the relationship between NIL and recruiting and just kind of where Kirby and his staff are at with that.
It's funny you say that. Kirby, it's his number one concern. I think it's a bigger concern than Tennessee right now. I mentioned this earlier in the year to some of our readers in my weekly column. I said, if y'all want to know what Kirby's thinking about right now or what keeps him up late at night, it's NIL. Because Georgia's behind. They are very, very far behind. And I don't want to say other teams are cheating, because everybody's got this new – the new system is really sketchy. And Georgia has been conservative compared to what some other schools are doing. Now, when you're starting to talk – you can do a presentation to a kid about NIL, but you can't promise them anything. Well, that's not happening everywhere. A lot of schools are actually promising kids, you know, it's coming from the staff, and it's just a bad situation. Nobody knows how it's going to be enforced or monitored or even, you know, what's the next step. But Georgia's doing really well. They're number 4 in the nation in the recruiting rankings. No 5 stars, though, which is interesting, but a ton of 4 stars and some really good players. This weekend, though, is going to be nuts when you look at the number of kids that are coming into town. You've got the in the 2023 class, they've got a bunch of kids committed elsewhere, like Justice Haynes, the Alabama commit, you know, and you got Anthony Evans, Oklahoma commit that, you know, Georgia's trying to flip. DeAndre Moore, a very good wide receiver, who's committed to Louisville. Georgia's trying to pull a bunch of kids in this class, but the 2024 class, you have, like, the number one wide receiver, the number one tight end, the number one outside linebacker, the number one inside linebacker, the number one cornerback, the number one safety. These are all kids for the 2024 class, you know, the juniors this year.
Right.
Who are looking at Georgia, who will be at that game this year. And it's going to be one to remember.
It's awesome. I love it, man. It never stops in the SEC. Roddy Nabolsi, UGASports.com, on Twitter, at Roddy Nabolsi. Always enjoy our time together, Roddy. Thanks for making some time for us here on Friday.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Boom. Love it. That's our man, Roddy, down there in the 706. Great. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean,
Roddy's great. You know Roddy and I did a thing together for Bleacher Report, right?
That's great. It's awesome.
Just talking a little Georgia preview, talking about the dog. We talking about them dogs.
I mean, I know Roddy from my days in Athens, which was, God, it was a long time ago. But that's as good as it gets, man. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on down there in Athens. And this is, I mean, look, it's not hyperbole. It is the game of the year in college football to this point. Like, it just is. So deal with it. Georgia, Tennessee, we had to go down there. We had to go to the source. We had to talk about it. And I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
You still like Tennessee to win?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He talked to me. Listen, I think this is a one-score game.
I do, too.
In a one-score game, anybody can win.
Yeah.
I'm going to err on the side of the team that really loves scoring points.
Yeah. I'm not going to fight you on that, man.
Like, I've been wrong. I picked Oklahoma to beat Georgia in the playoff.
It was five years ago.
Yeah. I know how long it was. We talked about it yesterday.
One of the best college football games I've seen in the playoff era. Maybe the best, honestly.
What games like that, and even Alabama and Tennessee this year, they show me the there's just this remarkable futility of playing defense. The coaches are smart. But also, the game is set up for you to lose.
Yeah, I wonder in a game like this where it doesn't come down to one stop here or like a team like Georgia lining up.
Stop.
Georgia lining up to go for it on like 4th and 2 from Tennessee's 25, knowing that they can't settle for 3 in a game that is going to require 7. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a stop here or there might be enough if you can hold serve one time. Defensively, that might be enough.
But that goes, again, you're using the tennis analogy, but the thing for me is, again, I go back to bowling. It's about empty frames or open frames. Now, if you have an empty frame, that's a gutter ball? Uh-oh.
Right.
Open frame, where you do kind of flip the field, you get a spare where you kick that field goal. If they can come back in 2 plays and score a touchdown, uh-oh. We're Penn State, and I'm not saying Georgia's Penn State, but Penn State literally lived that life last week, right, against Ohio State. They lived it. They lived the – even when we try, we can't – like once they decided once Ohio State decided to turn it on, it was a nightmare for them. They're like, oh, no, strike, 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 strike. We're down by 20 points?
Yeah.
We were just winning.
That all happened in the same quarter.
6 minutes.
Yeah.
6 minutes.
Yeah, Ohio State hit him with that pop, pop.
Ba-bow. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out. So, let's go back to the tease that we had. And listen, you know what? I'm going to do number one now. I think Tennessee wins. I've already said that. I think the difference in this football game, and Roddy alluded to it as well, that secondary is young, and they're going to make mistakes. And I will tell you this, as someone that's played in the secondary, it doesn't matter if you're perfect. The offense has the advantage because right. You can get mossed. You can get outpaced. There's back shoulder throws. Oh, and by the way, they call pass interference at an alarming rate.
Yes, yes, they do.
So you're operating from a deficit no matter what. I think about this a lot because I'm of the era of – Calvin Johnson and Vernon Davis when they were in the ACC. And as someone who did not get in the game, do you know that I didn't want to get in the game when those guys were in the game?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, no. If they make the players that are better than me look silly, what are they going to do to me? This is going to be bad. It will be bad. it's going to be horrible. And they made some of our best players look so stupid. Because they're just good. So I'm erring on the side of the team that scores more. So that's number one from the Felder Five. Can we revisit five? You want to give Cade Klubnik more time. Is Serber still around?
No, he's already dropped off. He just wanted to throw shade at Tripp and then log off.
Okay.
It's more of a question. I'm just wondering, like, schematically, coming out of a bye week, knowing that you've had 2 weeks to prepare for your toughest road game of the year. That's all.
That also means that you're taking away reps from DJ.
Well, I mean, if you know, coming out of the Syracuse game, like, it was all roses. DJ's like, look, man, I know I'm the guy. Like, yeah. It's all good. Dabo's like, DJ's our guy. Okay. But, I mean, just in terms of a change of pace, I mean, I'm asking. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm wondering if that's not something we see. I'm wondering if that's something we see. That's all.
DJ, for me, seems like a fragile guy.
Emotionally?
Yeah. I'm not calling him soft at all. I think he's a tough football player. I think some of the hits that he's absorbed and the way that he's played the game is very tough. What I'm saying is that I think that you either back him or you dump him. You cannot play the in-between. He's not Cade McNamara, right? Mm-hmm. Cade McNamara felt excited just to be the starter and keep going. And he was like, okay, fine, JJ's going to the game. But with DJ, if that happens with him, I think that it's going to be – I just think that messes with his psyche. I don't think it makes him play better if you put the other guy in the game. Do you?
No. I just think – I think at this point, if you're Dabo, you're trying to manage what is the next four games of your season to get to Charlotte so that you can get back to the playoff.
Right. But part of that management is managing your quarterback psyche.
Yeah, sure.
And if you inserting the other guy early in the game makes him play worse, be in his head, then that's not helping.
I understand that. I'm looking at it from a what's left for Clemson between Friday morning while we're recording the show,
sure,
and the college football playoff on New Year's weekend. And right. It's Saturday in South Bend. That is the only hurdle. You can say yeah, I'm being disrespectful.
This is their last. I wrote it in the doc. Their last big, quote unquote, big test. Because I don't even think Notre Dame's good. Their last big. Because Notre Dame, are they ranked?
No.
Right. So no. I think securing his psyche is more important than calling a cool play with Cade.
Okay. Because, I mean, after this for Clemson, you're looking at Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina, all of them at home, mm-hmm. where you've won 37 straight, and Charlotte for an ACC championship game against UNC. None of those games scare me if I'm Clemson.
No. Look at you. You're a segue king because you just mentioned Miami. Florida State, Miami. Did you ever think?
Nobody cares.
Did you ever think growing up that this would
I
be
care.
A game?
Okay, here he comes.
Hartzell, did you ever think this would be a game that no one cared about?
No, it's impossible.
I still remember, Roscoe Parrish getting his entire body exploded by Stanford Samuels. Turn your mic down. You're true.
I'll turn him down. It's fine.
I can't turn it down any further. I mean, this is just...
It's fine. I'll fix it. You got your parfait in you, and now you're all juiced up. It's fine.
Man, this thing is messed up. I can't get it right.
You work in radio, Trip. Like, you got
to
learn.
I know. It's the thing you're supposed to be very good at.
Is it that hot? What about now?
It's fine. Yeah, just quit playing with the levels. I already fixed it. It's fine.
All right, good.
Now you're too low. God almighty, man.
Now I'm too low? How about now?
It's fine. Don't touch it.
Check, check, check. Got a hot mic here.
Oh, my God. This is the best. And I can – oh, do you have any hair left in your head, Hartzell?
It's all gray, dude. Are you kidding?
No, I'm talking – I thought you were just pulling your hair out with going through this ordeal.
Yeah, I mean, I got two kids at home. I got to come to work. I got to deal with Tripp playing with the levels. And anyway, Florida State, Miami, Tripp, if FSU doesn't handle their business – I'm done with them. Like this should be a walkover.
I'm worried about it.
It should be a walkover.
What it is the line be. On this game?
That's why I'm worried about it. I thought Florida State would be favored by a couple touchdowns. It's down to like 7.5 right now, which has me a little concerned.
Oof.
Where is this game?
Coral Gables.
Miami, okay. Miami Gardens.
Here's the problem. Miami plays worse at home. I'm not being sarcastic. Like, they have played and lost to Middle Tennessee State in an empty stadium.
Yeah.
They have played at home and lost to Duke in an empty stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The Virginia game last week was, I mean, hang it in the Louvre. 14-12, four overtimes.
Was it 14-12? It was 14-12?
Yeah.
Oh, with the 2 points.
Yeah.
Because there's no touchdowns.
Nobody touched the end zone from either team until the 2-point conversion started raining in the third overtime.
That was really bad.
It was all field goals.
It was really bad.
Like it's we could do a show about Miami this year, but here's the thing. Unlike the Middle Tennessee State game, unlike the Duke game, there will be juice inside Hard Rock on Saturday. I just got a feeling it's going to be a lot of Garnet and Gold making the trip, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like FSU should roll this game. They should roll. Is Tyler Van Dyke done? Like is he on the shelf?
I haven't seen anything.
No, I think
about
he's going to play.
Oh, God. I said it earlier. Like, I was wrong. I will admit, because in the preseason, your boy here said Miami was going to win the ACC. So I admit, I was wrong.
Yeah, you know what, though? We keep showing up to work.
Yes, we do.
And we own those L's.
Yeah. I mean, that's a spectacular L. That is a huge miss. That's like putting Texas A&M in the preseason top six.
AP. That's a me. Is that a me thing?
No, that's an AP thing.
Okay.
That is college football writer, national college football writer.
Yeah.
All of y'all.
Yeah, everyone. And they're bad.
They're
Who's
really
worse, A&M or Michigan State?
Oh, A&M, come on. A&M at least had, like, expectations.
Michigan State was in the top 20, right?
Yeah, but, I mean...
Not the top 10.
Miami's 4-4. They could very easily be, like, 2-6. Like, they are
Yeah, but
bad.
Here's the thing. FSU is 5-3. They're one game different.
Yeah, but look at the margins now.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just saying. I'm looking at the daily lines. I'm looking at the FPI. Miami, they're giving Miami a 40% chance to win.
Yeah. This is why it's such a big game for Florida State. This is not a big game for Miami. You have already, I mean, it's a big game that you can sink your rival's battleship, sure.
And you can salvage your season.
Sure.
Could be a circle of the wagons game.
Okay.
That'll get you to if you're Miami, get you to 5-4. Which means you're one win away from a bowl game, which is at this point what you care about, because you're not going to the ACC championship game.
Florida State is better than a 7-5 football team this year, but this is the type of game that affects whether you're going the Liberty Bowl or whether you're staying at home and doing something late in December that actually means something.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So I wanted to tie this in with Alabama LSU because we're still only on four, but we already did number one. Alabama LSU. Have you looked at that?
Yeah.
This was game of the century. Now it's a 14-point line.
Even when it was game of the century, they were big. They were big spreads.
Was it really?
Not this big, but the last couple of years, yeah, they've gotten out of hand.
No. I'm talking about the game that was 9-6 or whatever it was. That wasn't a big line game.
I'm looking at the last 5 years. Yeah, I mean, we're going back further than that, sure.
Further than that, yeah. But this is a game, like, I will say this about LSU. I don't think they should be in the top 10. But I do think they are a good football team. And I do think they are responding really well to Brian Kelly's, the way that he coaches football. I think there was pushback early. And then they were like, oh, he's never going to stop being the way that he is. So we have to listen or we won't be in the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's inspiring confidence in Jaden Daniels. And he's also, I think guys are like, oh, Neighbors gets all the touches because he does what he's supposed to do in practice. In Boutte, I think it took him, I don't know, 7 games to realize, oh, I have to practice and do stuff. They won't just give me the football.
I think there's a lot of people who are eating crow with this Brian Kelly LSU situation. And I'm here for it, quite frankly.
I know, because you were on the side where you thought it was going to be a good hire. I still think the jury is out.
Okay.
They're playing in a league that, like, timeout. What is? I just want to make sure I'm accurate on who they've played.
Go on. I will let you formulate this opinion before I retort.
A team that's fired their coach. A team that is now starting to question their coach in Florida, which is crazy. It's year one. They're
Come
already
on.
Like,
no, but nobody's questioning Billy.
Yes, Napier. They, dude. Are you serious?
What do we mean by that? Questioning that they should be what, 8-0 and in the playoff?
No, what are they doing? Like, there's a whole thing from a reporter who just like was on a hot mic just being like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that another one. Latest sign, Billy Napier won't last at Florida. Billy Napier discusses Anthony Richardson's development ahead of Texas A&M.
Those people are morons.
Okay. What's at stake with Florida's final 4 games?
The difference between going to a bowl or not going to a bowl. Like, the same thing that was always going to be at stake. Like, how about you enter the – I'm not talking to you, Felder, but some of the – did you think Florida was going to win double-digit games this year? Because if so, you should get your head checked.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that, like, I'm not calling Florida Auburn. But I think that they are, like, there's a level of frustration.
Yeah, I get it. You've lost to every single rival you have this year. I get that.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I mean, yes. All right. Yes. You beat a Utah team that you shouldn't have beaten and that no one really cares about. Like, no Florida fan's like, yo, we beat Utah. What they care about is getting their ass kicked by, in order, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, and now Georgia.
if they lose to Florida State, what's going to happen?
It will be a disappointing season.
People will be so upset.
Sure.
Yeah. Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob, but right where, as a guy who grew up in a Florida household, this is where Florida is supposed to be. 4-4 going into the final 4 games of the year.
Sure. No, I agree with you. I think I think you're spot on. I didn't think they were a good team. I didn't think they were like they're not good. There's a reason they fired their coach a year ago.
That roster ain't it, bro. Like, it just
that's the thing I talked to Wayne about it last week. Take away Anthony Richardson, and then what do you have?
You have a 2-win football team.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, no disrespect, but, like, he's the only reason they won the Utah game. That and, obviously, the end zone interception there on the final play. But
sure, him and Cam Rising are the reasons they won the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but pump the brakes on the Billy Napier ain't it guy. He needs to recruit. He needs to bring guys in. And that remains to be seen. But going back to LSU Alabama, I'm putting Bama on upset alert Saturday night.
You're putting Bama on upset alert?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I think they're going to screw their heads into the ground.
You think they're going to roll LSU, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What road performance this year gives you hope that that's going to happen?
None of them.
Okay. So this is going to be the breakout game for Bama on the road.
Are you going to put LSU? Are you putting LSU on in That's My Dog?
Nope.
Okay. So you're not that confident?
Nope.
Okay.
I've already picked against Alabama once this year, and guess what? I got it done. I'm not doing it twice.
Okay.
I'm going to the Pac-12 for That's My Dog.
Okay. All right, next up, because we got to wrap up the Felder 5. I got to do something. I don't know what I got. Are we going to get a healthy Adrian Martinez? And does it matter?
Do you know what Vegas has the Texas-Kansas State line at Saturday?
What is it?
Texas is a road favorite.
Wow.
Yeah. No respect at all.
Disrespect.
For Chris Klieman and them boys.
Disrespect.
Now, you could I don't want to say that you caught that you saw 45 to nothing coming last week, but you could see at some point Oklahoma State was going to run out of gas. Like that in October.
They drove their car off a cliff.
Yeah. I mean, it was every week, ranked team, ranked team, ranked team, ranked team. Finally they got one. It's like that grid that was making the rounds, that meme, F around and find out. Finally, they found out. Like, they just I got to be honest, man. I like Texas.
You like Texas in this game?
I do.
What if Adrian Martinez plays?
I don't know if K-State can match Texas's offense shot for shot. Texas's
you don't think
offense
can stop them?
No. Nobody stopped Texas's offense this year. Texas's problem is Texas. They get a double-digit lead in the second half, and then they just check out. It happened in every loss they've had this year, with the exception of the Alabama game.
They averaged 36 points a game.
Yeah.
That's not like...
They crawl into a fetal position in the fourth quarter. Okay. Texas will be up double digits in this game. Whether or not they can hang on and win remains to be seen.
Dude, So what kind of crazy juice was Kansas State on last week?
I mean, they just got it. They had
48 to nothing got it?
They had a dead man. They had a corpse walk into Manhattan and just get got.
I mean, they abused them.
Dude, some of those touchdowns were like there was nobody from Oklahoma State on the TV screen.
They just used and abused them. So yeah, that's it. That's all I have, because I will be dialed into that game. Because Texas and Kansas State, this is going to be interesting. It's not even the haves and the have-nots. It's like this is like Kansas State is just like they're like the kid you don't even remember from high school. You know what they are? They're you remember Ginny Jones?
No.
The TV show?
That sounds like Trip Herd type viewing right there, bro. I don't know anything about that.
What was it? What'd you say?
Ginny Jones.
Ginny Jones.
I'm pretty sure it was Ginny Jones, and they used to do I used to be a knot, but now I'm hot or something.
Go on. I mean, go on. And
Kansas State they're the kid that you went to high school with that you never thought about and then just showed up at your high school reunion and they're like, by the way, I'm a banger.
Which is funny to me, Felder, because you have not been to your high school reunion, and if I dangled $1,000 out there and was like, I will give you this money if you go to your high school reunion, you'd be like, I'm good.
Yeah, I am good.
Yeah.
I'd give you $1,000 to go to my high school reunion.
I'm good. I'm all right.
Okay, and since we're talking about quarterbacks, which quarterback play is worse? Are we going to see terrible Sam Hartman again? Or whatever North Carolina State puts out there?
I'll take terrible Sam Hartman over NC State because NC State doesn't have a quarterback.
Did you see Sam Hartman last week?
Yes, I did. Two pick sixes. Six turnovers in the third quarter?
It was bad, dog. Three interceptions. They have two fumbles?
Yeah, but I thought as a team, Wake had six turnovers just in the third quarter.
Oh, let me pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up. Because Wake led that game at halftime. And then the third quarter, it was haymakers. It was like my kid in karate class. Jab, cross, jab, cross, jab, cross.
They had eight turnovers lost against Louisville.
Yeah, but it was 6 or 7 in the third quarter.
Sure, I can't find that breakdown. I can't get to that. They don't have that.
I thought you had that in your notebook. Hate to see it.
No, I don't have that in my notebook. Mm. I don't have that. They lost 8 turnovers, though. They were -7. 8 turnovers in one game? Hang on, let me go. I am at the notebook now. No, I just have bad fourth quarter or bad third quarter. They were so bad coming out of halftime.
Yes.
Unreal.
Yes. Now, here's the thing.
Hartman was bad. He was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I mean, honestly.
North Carolina State won.
That quarter probably got Scott Satterfield an extension.
Sure.
Because he has had he's had a very up and down season, but at some point you've got to look at Louisville right now and be like, man,
they're 5-3.
These guys have won 4 in a row.
Yeah. 3 in a row.
Is it 3?
3.
They lost at Boston College. That's right. Yeah, which is unexcusable. Just
yes.
Brutal. Now,
but then you win. It's inexcusable, and then you win 3 in a row.
You know who Louisville's got coming to town this weekend, don't you?
Louisville this weekend has.
Watch out.
Oh, your guys. Okay.
Watch out. Be careful. Be careful. Upset alert. Louisville at home. Upset alert. Watch out. JMU coming to town. Be careful.
There we go.
Watch out.
But North Carolina State has some combination of what? MJ Morris and Jack Chambers.
Guys who can't throw. This is the College Football Saturday Night Game of the Week, which I should be plugging because that's a Learfield production. I think Wake is going to get right, as the kids like to say.
Against
NC State. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they won last weekend. Was Virginia Tech just that bad?
Virginia Tech is terrible, bro.
Yeah, I know they're terrible, but, like, they're that bad?
Yes.
They led the whole game.
They are that bad. They were up 21-3, I think, in the fourth quarter.
It was bad.
I was on my little mental health break. I was watching that game from a very modest hotel room and fell asleep. It was 21-3, Virginia Tech. Woke up and thought I was even more messed up than I actually was. I mean, that was bizarre.
It was insane. Oh, man. All right. So what do we want to do? Want to go rapid fire through some games?
Well, let me see here. A couple games that we haven't talked about that I'd like to get your thoughts on. South's oldest rivalry, North Carolina at Virginia. Thoughts?
It's a house of horrors for UNC.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that game terrifies me and will always terrify me. I don't believe this about most other places, but UNC playing Virginia at Virginia is just, it's a thing that I've lived, and I think that's the difference. But the reality is Virginia is bad. Like, they average 17 points a game. They're not good.
You know who else isn't good?
Who?
Maybe the most flawed 7-1 team in America, the UNC Tar Heels.
Yeah, but they're 7-1.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you went through UNC's schedule, you'll look at it and you'll be like, could have lost to this team, could have lost to this team, could have lost to this team. But they keep doing it, and Drake May's having a hell of a season. So I think UNC gets the win. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as people think.
Texas Tech, TCU. Here's what I need to know about TCU, as far as you're concerned. Are they on borrowed time, or are they legit?
They're legit.
Okay.
They're explosive.
Yeah.
TCU has the same thing that UNC, Ohio State, that they have going for them, where they can, Tennessee as well, they can score on any play. Any play offensively could be a touchdown. And again, I will say this, Quentin Johnston, wide receiver number one.
In the NFL draft?
Yep.
Love it. Oklahoma State, Kansas. Jalen Daniels supposed to be back?
I was going to ask, is he back or not?
And he's on the depth chart.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, like, listen, this, to borrow your term, like, we're going to find out if the carriage turns back into a pumpkin. For real. Like, the whole time. Like, that's, we'll find out. Because they started out hot. It's a combination of him getting hurt, them getting banged up. how this works out.
Any of these Pac-12 games do anything for you? Arizona, Utah, UCLA, ASU, Cal, SC?
No.
Okay.
No.
Here's what I want to say real quick about the Pac-12. Four teams in the CFP top 14. This is a really good league.
It is. And I'm tired of people shitting on them.
Right. People are lazy. Everybody's got something in the loss column. So the Pac-12 is, you know, it's what they always are. No.
They're good.
I would hold up the top half of the Pac-12 against the top half of the Big Ten. Yeah. I think this is a league that is in discussion, arguably the second best league in America. I know that you've got some bottom feeders. I know about that. Every league's
Everyone's
got bottom
feeders.
Yeah. Pac-12 is really good. So
they're good. Good football. UCLA is tough.
UCLA is tough.
Oregon's tougher.
I mean, you saw what Arizona did to USC last week. Like, they were hanging around for 3.5 quarters.
Yes,
so
they were.
What I don't want to see happen.
It's about 50 minutes. They were giving them a ball game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona gave Utah a game, especially if there's no Cam Rising for the second straight week.
That's going to be really rough for Utah.
Well, long term, there's no hope there. Like, you need Cam Rising.
Yes.
They've got Oregon coming to Salt Lake City at the end of the year. Not at the end of the year, but second to last week.
Yeah, they need Cam back. They need him back in a big way. Arizona State just kind of seems to be kind of lost in the woods, and obviously they're going through a bunch of off the field stuff. So I don't think football is at the forefront in terms of a lot of their folks' mind, because you got a lot of guys that are going to be hitting the portal, and a lot of guys that are trying to figure out what happens next.
You boys ready to pick some games?
All right, let's do it.
That's my dog.
Take that.
That's my dog. Say that right, Mom. That's my dog. It's my. That's my dog. That's my dog. And anybody got to say anything, you let me know. That's my dog.
Hey, Felder, when Tripp filled in last week, did he play the sounder? Did he have the music?
No, he did not.
God almighty.
Yeah, how would I have had that?
Dude, you're playing with your mic levels again, dude. Will you just don't do anything?
What are you
anything.
Talking about? I haven't touched anything.
Don't do
I've
anything.
I've been perfectly still. What okay. about now?
Don't. I just told you not to do anything. I'm cleaning it up here. You didn't have the sounder for That's My Dog, Tripp, last week? No,
how would I have had that?
I don't know.
That's on your computer.
You could have been a next level producer and been like, hey, dude, I need the sound.
You could have been just a next level person and said, hey, it's not going to be in there. So don't call for it, Felder, and hit triple, just throw it in post like I did.
Okay. Felder, you gave out Cincinnati last week. That didn't happen.
Dude, just how bad have my beats been?
You're 2-8 on the year.
I'm 2-8 on the year, but look at my games.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some close losses, but that's not what this segment is about. Straight up underdog winners.
I know what it's about. And how do I keep losing these games?
You're just not good at this. Speaking of not good at this,
No, 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 no
was a that's Illinois' only loss of the season. You got and Connor Bazelak.
They should not have lost that football game. Virginia at Illinois.
Bad pick.
No, that was fine.
You ran into the buzzsaw that is Illinois. You went back to the well. Bad
Syracuse.
Pick.
Purdue at Syracuse.
One of the worst beats of the season. Maybe the worst, honestly.
I win Baylor, Iowa State. I win Kansas, Iowa State. ECU, Tulane.
I mean, dude, you went up against a Tulane team that's ranked in the top 20 right now.
If they make that field goal going into halftime, ECU wins that football game.
We all know ECU can't kick field goals. Did you not learn that from the NC State game week one?
That's a great point. And by the way, I was too much of a coward to pick ECU last week.
That line drive field goal.
Like, what was that? First of all, that field goal was insane.
Yeah.
But they won.
By the way, real quick on ECU, I'm talking to you, Pirate fans. I hope you've enjoyed the Mike Houston experience, because guess where that dude's going to be coaching next year? Not in Greenville.
Where is he going to be?
Might be in Atlanta.
Why?
Checks a lot of boxes for what Georgia Tech's trying to do right now.
Why wouldn't? Man, well, I mean, I'd stay at ECU, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd stay. Listen, Nate.
Do you know how bad the AAC is going to be next year?
Bad enough for them to win.
Okay, fine. But like that's a conference that's going to officially fall below the Sun Belt in terms of quote unquote Group of Five powers.
Okay.
Mike Houston to Georgia Tech. I'm putting it out there right now.
Okay. He's going to be going from the jungle and Dowdy Ficklin
to the flats.
To the flats and Bobby Dodd?
Yeah, why not?
He's going to go from people showing up
to not showing up. to playing road games against Georgia in your own stadium.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go. What do we got?
Well, I mean, do you want me to go first? Because I've got a game.
Yeah, you weren't here last week.
I've got a game Friday night.
I think you're stealing my pick here.
Give me the Chainsaws of Oregon State +4 against Washington. We already talked about the weather. It is going to be, in a word, shitty. Who likes playing in bad weather? Beavers. Give me Oregon State on the ground. Run heavy. +4. They win the game at Husky Stadium. Straight up.
Okay.
That's my pick.
Trip, what you got?
Yeah, that's a terrible pick. Washington wins that game really easily. I hate that. I wish we would have done this show yesterday. I loved Coastal. I knew they were going to win going away last night.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
By the way, shout out to Tripp who put on his he put on the internet for the world to see App State Coastal over 63.5 lock emoji. Final score, exactly 63 points. You lose, sir.
On the right side of that one, too. On the right side of that one, too. Everybody knows it's coming.
That's a loss,
It's about to come right now. I've got two, really. Do you want me to go, or is it Felder?
No, it is your turn, Tripp. You've had all show to get in the lab and come up with winners. What do you have?
I've had these for – you can talk to me on Tuesday about this. I've already got next week's locks. All right, the first one for this week, and I am kind of going back on my word because I said I was done with these guys after what they did to me last week, but I'm going to roll one more time with Oklahoma State +1 at Kansas. I hope Jalen Daniels is back. He's fun to watch. It's a fun story, but this spot is just way too good for Oklahoma State. They just got their pants pulled down last week, 48-0 at Kansas State. They're going to be playing with their hair on fire. The second one will go to the Pac-12. I thought you were stealing this one, Hartzell, because this is kind of the no-brainer. Stanford should not be a 4.5-point dog against Washington State. Both these teams struggling on offense. Probably going to be a low-scoring game. I'll take the home team. And look, we can't worry about UCLA last week. They were pissed off, too. So I think the line's inflated because of that. These are two stone-cold locks. This is the best work I've done all season.
Hang on a sec. You like Stanford? You said they're at home against Washington State?
Yeah, they're on the farm.
All right. I got news for you, bro. There will be more Cougs fans there than Stanford fans.
That's okay.
And furthermore,
they
Tripp,
can stay in bed a little bit later.
Probably
on
should
Saturday,
have told you this before
sleep.
You delivered these picks. If you go 0-2 this week, you're out.
What?
I will find someone else from the bullpen to be the producer of the show.
I literally got voted back in on Twitter just to be here today. You haven't even mentioned it. Like, I caught my biggest win ever on Twitter with the poll, and you don't even bring it up.
What was the poll?
Suppressive.
I didn't see the poll. What was the poll?
If I could come back on the show. Like, should I be allowed back on the show?
What were the results?
I won. I won the poll.
Where's this poll?
It was on Twitter. I mean, you can just go to College Sports Now, Twitter.
Twitter.
You guys should be familiar with it, right?
Twitter. By the way, give our man Tripp a follow. He is a rising internet sensation. At
almost
Tripp
at 100 followers right
That's
now. I'm
two
sitting
P's.
At 96. And, won that poll. 4-3.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see
four,
it. Yeah.
4-3. Okay, very good. I'm going to mute your microphone.
You didn't jump on there and support me. I kind of figured you had already.
I was dealing with that. Listen, that's Halloween weekend, my man.
Yeah, Felder's got
you
a lot of
You were up
plate.
late. Because I had a sick kid Saturday, and you were still tweeting about Hawaii at like 3 in the morning.
That's how he rolls.
So I was up until 3 in the morning watching dude. Hawaii. Shout out to Team One Sports, baby, on the iPad.
All right, Tripp, I'm going to mute your microphone. You better give us a winner over the weekend, or God help you. Felder, who you got for That's My Dog, buddy? Where are you going?
I was thinking about Auburn.
Oh.
I know.
You can't thinking about Auburn. You can't back those guys. You think they rally around Cadillac?
No. Well, that's what I was looking at, is that fired coach bump. You're playing fun and fancy free, right?
Yeah,
right, you know what I'm saying?
They're a double-digit underdog in Starkville, though, man.
Yeah, but, man, wouldn't that be a hell of a win?
That would be a hell of a win, yes.
All right. Tripp already took Oklahoma State off the board, so they're off the board for me. Looking at Memphis. Memphis in what, UCF? I think Memphis is at home. They're a home dog. I like this Memphis team.
Picked against UCF last week. What happened?
That's why I'm not going to pick it.
You lost.
I should have won, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you and Tripp both. Yeah.
Looking at Baylor. But, man, they're a different team with Dylan Gabriel.
Oklahoma? Yeah. Yeah. They're assassins.
They took it off the board. Looking at Michigan State.
Oh, Felder, no. Dude.
They are a double-digit underdog to Illinois.
As they should be. They're not beating Illinois. That's not happening.
So I got two choices left. I got BYU with a Boise State team that's not that good.
No, but they have, quote-unquote, they fixed what was going on earlier. Boise State's won like 5 in a row.
So I'm picking Tennessee.
Okay, now we're cooking. Bravo, sir. Bravo.
How about that lead up, my man?
Yeah, I was worried about you. You were in the ditch there, but you fixed it. You got the wheels back on the road. All right, Tennessee +8 at Georgia. I love it.
Yeah.
Game of the year. You're not shying away from the big ones. I love it.
Look at that, dude. My cojones. Let's go.
You can follow Felder on Twitter, @itsfelder, or excuse me, @inthebleachers. You've got the @itsfelder on Instagram. You got the bulletin going. You're everywhere, man. You're everywhere.
I got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Follow Felder. Listen to the Blitz. Follow Tripp on Twitter. Interact with the show. Leave us a review. Folks, it's week 10. I mean, we made it. We're here. It's November.
Yeah,
you've earned a cold one. If you're listening to the show in the middle of the afternoon, just go ahead and crack it open. Enjoy.
Yeah, have a cold one. Have one for me.
It's fall, y'all. Enjoy your weekend. We will talk to y'all next week. So long.